ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else. The Boston Bruins and Toronto Maple Leafs are tied at 1-1 after two games of the series.
And kind of expected it to come out like this, no?
Yeah. I'm not entirely shocked. We both said Bruins in seven. You kind of have to lose three to go to seven. So, you know.
2013, 18, 19, and now 24 were all tied 1-1 after the first two games in Boston. So, you know what? A trend is a trend.
Yeah. We'll get into it more when we talk about game two specifically, but like, at the end of the day, the series is tied 1-1, so it's a best of five going forward with the Leafs having home ice, which honestly, Bruins home ice in the playoffs, that's probably for the better. You know, based on that history with the Bruins, it's probably better if there's more games in Toronto now. But we will get there. Let's start game one. Before the game even starts, is there something that you want to talk about that happened before it even started? Because someone was in attendance.
I was in attendance. And, okay, so trying to plan this all out, you know, the game's at 8, what time do I want to get into Boston, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, wait a second, something I can do before the game, there's the Heritage Hall, which opened, what was it, mid-season kind of?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't actually open that at the start of the year. That would have been nice.
Yeah, you know, kind of, you know, you had the whole summer to prepare for it, technically. So I was, you know, why don't I just get tickets to Heritage Hall? You know, 6 o'clock entry time, you know, go through that. It'll be around 7 by the time I'm done. Go to my seat, get ready for the game. So I'm up there, and then a worker comes up to me and, are you here for the meet and greet? And at first I'm like, I just assume like you have to have a special ticket for that because, you know, a meet and greet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I'm not. And then a couple minutes later, another worker comes up to me and are you here for the meet and greet? And I'm like, do you have to have a special ticket for that? And she's like, nope, you just have to have a ticket for the game and Heritage Hall. And I was like, oh, well, shit, that's me. And then I look over, and who do I see strolling in with the fanciest suit on and a top hat but Willie O'Ree?
I was going to say, did they say who the meet and greet was for? Like, did they say that before you saw him walk in?
I think the second person said it, but honestly, I was kind of in a blur.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I was like, oh my god, it's actually him.
Yeah.
But which was funny, because Willie O'Ree was also at the pro shop a few hours earlier, meeting people and fans for a select, you know, number of fans who get in line early, which I thought, I don't really want to get to the garden around 2 o'clock for an 8 o'clock game.
Ooh, that, yeah.
I don't think I want to do that. But yeah, I look over and there he is with his, dapper suit. He's looking fresh. But yeah, no, I mean, what the hell do you say to that man? Walking up to him, I'm like, what do I say? And I just told him it was an honor to meet him and whatnot. They like rip your phone out of your hand to take a picture. They take a picture so fast and then they shoot you away. All right, thank you, goodbye.
Yeah.
It was cool. Very cool. Very unexpected. Especially, you know, I'm only there to see the Heritage Hall. I had no idea it was even happening.
Yeah.
But that was I was thinking right then and there that, not going to matter how this game goes, but the game would have to go pretty bad for this to not have been worth it.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And that Heritage Hall is so cool. They have Nathan Horton's 2011 Stanley Cup Final helmet. The white one. Not the one he got knocked out in.
I just thought about that.
Sean Thornton Stanley Cup Final jersey, Bobby Orr trophies. Marchand skates from this year, which is weird because I can just go online and buy them, I guess, on that Bruins authentics, as they call it. But no, that Heritage Hall was super cool. And yeah, then I went to the game. I mean, was that a good game? I don't know. But I do want to say off the hop, that crowd, I went to Bruins Leafs in 2019. That game was the loudest I have ever heard that building, even before it started. That it was the most electric atmosphere I've been a part of.
Yeah.
I guess you can't chant USA, though.
We can get to that.
Yeah,
if
no.
if you would like. But that's for later.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Just something about Boston and randomly running into people that you wouldn't expect. Like, literally, like, that was me with Jack Edwards back in October, where it was just like, all right, I'm just, like, walking back from, you know, like, just my first night out in Boston. I was, like, walking around, like, the North End. Like,
that's right, it wasn't even the nights you went to the game.
No, like, it wasn't even a game. Like, the Bruins had played that night, so there were still people, yeah, like, slowly funneling out of the Garden, but, like, at that point, it, like, slowed down. And then, yeah, just Jack Edwards is just walking just fully out and just, like, the hub, and I'm just like, well, when in Rome, like, you can't, mm-hmm, you just gotta, yeah. I am jealous. And yeah, so, in terms of the actual hockey,
mm-hmm,
Swayman gets game one.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yeah, me too. I love the logic that they used in Montgomery after the game, talking about giving him that start, because that's very true. What I didn't even think about was that Ullmark has gotten the start of every single series.
Yeah.
They'll give him his chance, and boy, he was very, very sharp.
Yeah, it was 35 saves, I believe, in the end on 36 shots.
Not bad.
Just, yeah, very, very good game from Swayman. Again, yeah, not who I thought Ullmark would be in, just based on how this, you know, actual season went, but I guess they did. Ullmark started the last game of the year, so, or of the regular season, so staying with that 1-1-1 rotation, and Swayman got game one. No complaints about that. William Nylander, going into that game, was questionable and he ended up not playing. That, you know, was big for the Bruins in game one. You would have hoped it was, you know, something that they took advantage of in game two, but I feel like I'm just going to have to keep saying we'll get there. Now, opening faceoff, Max Domi.
Oh my God.
Goes at Brad Marchand. Is there a biggest? Is there a bigger loser on the Leafs than Max Domi?
Jake McCabe is right up there, but Max Domi has to take the cake right now.
Easily.
And it's so funny. Obviously, then he took that slashing penalty against Marchand later, but he would have gotten away with that slash had he not put a massive microscope on him from that on the opening faceoff. I mean, what a dummy. What a dummy. And then, of course, he scores tonight. We'll get to that.
Yeah. I thought it after, like, I mean, I was a part of it, obviously. Like, everyone was calling Domi, just like, I mean, I just went with loser the whole time, because that's really what it felt like. And then he scored, and I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. That's, yeah. Like, that feels like exactly what would happen with someone like Kadri, where it's like, oh my God, you're such, and he scores. Like, yeah. Although Domi is just like Kadri, but worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I said that, he's scoring a hat trick every game the rest of the season.
Well, you know what Domi did a couple years ago in Game 7? Down in Carolina.
Oh, my God, yeah. He played for the... Oh, my God.
That was back when he was, you know, actually playing hockey most of the time instead of just trying to take swings at people.
Yeah. Which is weird, because me personally...
I don't remember him... Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, if I was on a line with Austin Matthews, I would be much more focused on just sending the puck to Austin Matthews than
trying
to kill people.
Assists.
Like, yeah. Matthews tonight was unfortunately phenomenal. Like, just give him the puck.
A lot better as the game went on.
Yeah, like, just give Matthews the puck. That's your whole point as Max Domi, like, on that line. Like, give the puck to Matthews. He scored 69 goals in the regular season. Like,
nice.
Nice. Yeah. Anyways, continuing game one.
Yeah.
I believe it was Ryan Reeves, like, went in with just a bad move, like, bad hit to take. Maroon passed the puck up out to Bofist.
Beautiful play.
Passes it over to Beecher on the 2-on-1, and Johnny Beecher opened up the scoring for the Bruins.
Who even is he?
In the playoffs. And yes, of course, the clip of Steve Dangle on, I think, the series preview video that they did, you know, he said when they were reading out, like, when the line rushes were being read out, he said that he's never heard of Beecher, so he's scoring the first goal tomorrow. And then, yeah, Beecher scored 2.5 minutes in. Which, hey, great for Beecher. Definitely agree with Montgomery, who said post game after game one that was the best game that he's ever seen Beecher play as a Bruin. And I was like,
oh my god, yeah,
easily.
He was all over the place.
Yeah, phenomenal, especially like phenomenal game overall for that fourth line.
Not so much tonight, though.
No, I was gonna talk about that. Beecher made some opposites. Awful decisions. but yeah, so then you get to Pat Maroon.
Oh my god.
How was seeing that? who cares about your reaction to the goal? It's more about Pat Maroon sending Liljegren into the bench.
Yep. Oh my god. I saw him coming. I'm like, "Oh, please, that would be so cool if he put him into the bench." And that the crowd probably was as loud for that as some of the goals. That was It was beautiful. And then I guess Maroon turned to the Toronto bench and did a Ric Flair woo, which I couldn't see that, but that was...
Yeah, that's...
What a play. I love Pat Maroon, but I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
No, that was an electric moment.
Yeah, the one thing... Like, we knew this about Pat Maroon. Like, we knew how he was going to play. We knew all that. And I know this is immediately going to something negative, but oh my god, he is so slow. I do not think I've seen a slower hockey player. Like, I think 44-year-old Zdeno Chara was still faster than Maroon. And, wow. Like, hey, Maroon still belongs in the Bruins lineup, absolutely. But it's just very funny, like, seeing that and then seeing someone like DeBrusk skate down the ice. It's like just such different skill sets and ages.
Quick aside, this has nothing to do with the Bruins, but
right, okay,
did you see that Mark Stone scored the first goal in the playoffs for Vegas? Come on, man. That's...
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
he did.
Okay. I just wanted to say that because, yeah, of course
good.
He did. But...
That's good.
But speaking of DeBrusk, I mean, obviously, he assisted on the Carlo goal and had 2 goals. What a game from him. Tonight, even, I think he's been great.
Yeah.
Carlo, what a bomb that was in the second period in game one. I saw it going, I'm like, wait, who shot that? I'm like, it was Carlo?
Yeah, literally, like, yearly Brandon Carlo point shot playoff goal.
I could use some more of that.
Yeah, he had... Honestly, it was like a similar setup for the one in... you know where I'm going, game 6 against the Blues. Like, literally, like, same sort of idea, point shot, like, on that right side. And it wasn't like, you know, he roofed it or anything. It was just like... enough, like, over the pad of the goalie when they went down. Bruins went up. It was 1-0 end of the first. Matthews missing that open net, like, awful, decision by Swayman.
Yeah, when Matthews I saw that, I'm like, that. Oh no.
Yeah, no, like, I saw Swayman go out, I was like, oh, well. Thank God for Matthews missing that, because, yeah, that was literally
could have missed tonight.
Literally within the same minute that Carlo then scored. So it's just a wild goal turnaround.
And it's crazy to, like, so many times in a season, a series, a game, just a little thing. Well, I guess that's a big thing, but even the smaller things, you know, different bounce, different little things, you never know how it could have turned out. So, hey, thanks, Post.
Yeah. Not to mention that the Bruins had hit three posts in the first period.
Oh, my God.
And then I think another in the second. Like, yeah. That game could have been, like 4-5-0.
Could have also been 5-3 or 4 without Swayman.
Yeah. Then you got, also in the second, Jake DeBrusque scored twice against the Leafs because, of course.
Oh, that wrist shot and then the celebration. Oh.
Yeah. Fire me up. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it was just Marchand passing to him in front on the power play after Domi took the penalty.
He does that thing where he gets low to the ground and goes lower on his stick, stiff on the stick. Oh,
he's like almost in the ice.
Playing mini sticks almost.
Actually, yeah, like the way he goes with his hands on his stick, it's kind of mini sticks, yeah.
Honestly, game three, send him out there on the power play with a mini stick.
That might be the solution. And then, yeah, he had that chance, like, right at the end of the
second
as well, where he almost got the... Well, it hit the post. Yeah, it hit the post, yeah. Or crossbar. Almost had the second period hat trick. With the assist on, I guess technically on DeBrusque's first goal, Marchand became second all time in Bruins postseason points, and that feels weird. That feels weird.
Yeah.
Especially because it was Bergeron Krejci tied at 128, and Marchand's now at 130. Anyways, Leafs open up the scoring. In the third, at least, David Kampf gets that goal, just like a solid passing play. And then not really much else happens in the third of note. Frederick
ended up by quick.
Yeah, Frederick ended up scoring the empty netter.
First playoff point. Woohoo!
Finally. Yeah. Huge win. Swayman was phenomenal. 35 saves. You got scoring throughout the lineup. Like, Pasternak's only point was on an empty netter. That's what you need in the playoffs. You need guys, you know, you need your DeBrusques, your Carlos, your Beechers to be scoring those goals. Especially your DeBrusques. And
we just talked about on the playoff preview too, DeBrusque, big X factor, and he showed it in game one.
I think we have said that for the last four play. I think we have said that every playoffs that we have done this.
So maybe,
please, maybe, for the love of God, be consistent, Jake.
Well, hey, he's consistent against the Leafs, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, game one ends. How do we feel? Just overall.
Great. Mm-hmm. But then, like, realization that still a long way to go.
Yes.
Because then you remember, you know, the Bruins, they handled Florida pretty good in game one last year.
And then Florida came back and won game two.
Yep. And as I've been saying, I'm never going to feel confident until the Bruins have three wins in the series and there is 0.00 left on the clock and they win. I will not feel confident until then. Sure, it was nice to see them win 5-1, in a game one, and you thought, you know, confident, but then a game like tonight can happen. So,
yeah, before we got there.
Sure.
Zdeno Chara ran the London Marathon in 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 4 seconds, beating his personal record that he set 6 days before that by 19 minutes.
And he wasn't the fan banner captain. Really shameful.
No, should have been. Insane human being. Derek Forbort was recalled by the Bruins this morning.
Outrage.
Because his conditioning stint basically done. I think it's also that Providence's season is done, so he needs to be on the NHL roster to actually play with the team. Montgomery had some fun at the press conference today, saying that his starting goalie tonight had 2 vowels in his first name and 2 vowels in his last name.
Thought Brandon Bussey was scoring.
Yeah, could have been so many people. Marty Turco, if you count Y in that scenario, which I do. Jonas Gustafsson, Brandon Bussey, Jeremy Swayman, Linus Allmark. I mean, you never know. And the most on-brand Jake DeBrusque thing ever was someone asked him about Montgomery's quote, and he said, "I don't even know what those vowels are. You're asking the wrong guy."
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then you get to warm-ups, and Linus Allmark starts game two. How do you feel?
I get it, but I mean, obviously, knowing what we know now, you know, it wasn't a bad decision at all, but,
no.
You know, Swayman was just dialed in game one. And obviously, I'm not trying to say Allmark was any reason why they lost tonight. Quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of surprised. I thought maybe they'd at least maybe go until one of them loses or give them 2. I just thought Swayman was so dialed in and was, frankly, really, really good in game one. But, you know, they have a plan. Clearly, they're going to stick to it. So, yeah. I guess I wasn't surprised. I guess that's not the right word, but I guess I genuinely didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, that's kind of just the state that I'm in, where it's like, I thought they would lean Swayman tonight, just because of that performance. But I guess also, like, if you can get a performance like that every other game, right, by resting him and making sure, you know, he's not going to overwork himself and be injured and whatnot, like if Swayman comes out and does that again in game 3. I think you give Allmark game 4, right? Like, you alternate that. If that's going to work, keep that, right? Like, because even at worst, let's say Allmark is just average in whatever that game 4 and then game 6, whatever it would be, you win game 7 with Swayman in net playing like that. You win any game with Swayman in net playing like that. And you should win most games with Allmark in net playing like he did in game 2. But, you know. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to do completely going forward, but, you know, it might also have been that Swayman faced a lot of shots, which then Allmark faced a lot of shots this game too, because the Bruins cannot, contain the Leafs at all. But yeah, game starts, Jake McCabe takes just the dumbest penalty I think I've ever seen, just like the most obvious cross check.
That was pretty stupid.
Yeah,
typical of him.
And then Morgan Geeky opened the scoring for the Bruins. You're used to Pastrnak being the one getting that pass from Marchand, that, but hey, whatever works. It's, you know, I can't complain about the way the power play is set up right now, especially having 3 power play goals through 2 games, but not having Marchand pass out immediately to start with that, like, 5 minutes to go with the power play at the end of the game there, questionable. And then, yeah, Max Domi answered it 14 seconds later. And
crazy, man.
What in the... Yeah. they had a... They put like an arrow with it on sport, like on the Sportsnet broadcast, where it's like, it literally like Lindholm shoots it, and it, like, is, like, less than... It's probably, like, less than a 45-degree angle that the puck comes back at, which is just not how physics are supposed to work. That's not what we were taught. How does the glass move like that? Someone paid off TD Garden today. I don't know.
Typical.
Yeah. But, yeah, just the worst bounce, and then... Matthews shot, like, just free shot. I fully thought that that was just gonna go in, and then, you know, Domi gets the chance on the rebound in front, and no one's quick enough there to stop him, and the game's tied. Who?
Of course it's him.
Yeah, of course. I need... What the hell? Oh, there we go. Beecher's hooking penalty.
That was certainly a hooking penalty.
What did he do there?
You see, his stick was just existing near a leaf, I think. Probably. Possibly. I didn't see a hook.
Yeah, no, like, they showed the replay on the Sportsnet broadcast, and it was literally just like he, like, you know, the thing that every player normally does when a player is skating by them, just like put the stick out towards Tavares. Like, there was literally no hook. Nothing prevented Tavares from doing anything. Like, at most, like, you could say maybe a slight slash, but even then it was kind of just like the one hand on the stick, really light, like, just tap. Like, there it wasn't much. Didn't result in anything for the Leafs, you know. Then Pasternak ended up scoring at the end of the period.
Pavel Zacha, man.
Yeah. Like,
was it you that tweeted, like, it? That it was so Krejci reminiscent. I can't remember who's you that tweeted that or not, but that was so true.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I think Krejci would look before doing that.
Yeah.
But he always would find a way to look. So, but yeah, such a good pass by Zacha. He's just got the check connection.
Checkmate.
And then, as we know now, that was the last goal the Bruins scored in that game.
Yay.
So, into the second, the Bruins took their first too many men penalty of the game.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. You're in the playoffs, man. Like, how are you, like, count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. Stop. You know, no. like frig. But Ullmark, especially in that second, was phenomenal. They had to... Such a weird thing where they went to the TV timeout, and then they only reviewed the glove save by Ullmark after, like, everyone came back from timeout. Like, it was just a weird...
Yeah, you had about 5 minutes there. You could have taken a
look. Yeah, like, not everything... Like, you don't have to fully broadcast that. Like, every broadcast company is able to just replay, like, you know, what happened. And if you really think it was a goal, okay, just wait the extra minute. It's not like you make a quick decision on when you're looking at the iPad anyways, guys. Like, just odd.
Yeah.
Andrew Peak then went to the dressing room. I think Sportsnet said it like 7 minutes to go in the second, and I was like, "That's not good."
Oh, not at all.
Zacha had a chance in the second where he's alone in front with Samsonov. He has to go to his backhand there, like he, because what the actual result was he. Forehand, skated around the net, tried to pass it out in front, and it went all the way back into the Bruin zone. He had, like, Samsonov was not, like, fully square to Zaka. You, like, Pavel Zaka, why are you allergic to shooting? Just, I know you have David Pastrnak with you, but you can shoot too. It's okay. Like, please. Like, 90% chance that that's a goal if he went to his backhand. Grizzlick's penalty? What are your thoughts
on
that?
I get it, but, like, I also don't think John Tavares is that weak. I think he's pretty strong, isn't he?
It's funny, because I tweeted, I don't think Grizzlick is that strong.
Yeah.
Like, nothing against Grizzlick. Like, I just don't believe that he is strong enough to just, like, lightly, like, his light cross-check to Tavares is enough to make him fall. Like, there's a difference in the two, in the way that those two people are built.
Guess not.
Yeah. Not, like, I understand, like, I won't be upset at that penalty. I think it's definitely sold a little by Tavares, but, like, okay, whatever. Grizzlick just shouldn't be doing that in general. It's just putting yourself in a bad spot. Bertuzzi scored on just the most obvious high stick of all time. Just
why
truly,
was...
I don't know how that was called a goal on the ice.
First off, the ref's not blowing it off immediately. And then, at least I was watching the ESPN feed, they took so long to even call into question the fact that it was a high stick. They were basically sounding of why it should be a good goal. And it's like, there's absolutely no way that that stick is below the crossbar.
Yeah,
but like that was wild. I felt like I was crazy.
He like had his stick over his head. It's like when you're batting the puck down, like it's a ground ball and you're Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like that's going to be a high stick, you know? Like that's just how that motion is going to work. Like it's so clearly high stick. And then the Leafs still score on the power play anyways. And I will be fair to both to another defenseman later. Kevin Shattenkirk, what in the fuck were you trying to do? I don't know if you saw specifically like the angle that I did, but Shattenkirk, like Tavares has that puck. Shattenkirk, in an attempt to block it, you know, he does like closes his legs, you know, like what players normally do to try to block a shot. But he's like 2 feet to the left. And he just puts his stick just kind of out there. Like he's not even close to actually blocking that. Like, get in the way of that shot. It's John Tavares, dude. Like, so stupid because he clearly had enough time to actually get in the way, too. Like, it wasn't just like a, oh, last second, like, oh, you know, that happens. Like, clear, you see that puck going to Tavares, get in the way of his stick.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not having peak, Shattenkirk got put on the penalty kill, which, like, I think
his ass out.
I think you just roll Grizzmack, or probably actually Grizz-Carlo. No, Grizzmack, Lindholm, Carlo, and you just, you know, if you don't want Grizzlick out there for a while, just put Lindholm out for like a minute 20, you'll be fine. Like, in the case of Peak going down, Grizzlick should be your first choice for the PK.
Yeah. Grizzlick,
sure, it's hindsight,
Kirk,
but
same difference to me on the penalty kill.
Fair. But yeah, so the Leafs ended up having 27 shots end of the second, which not what you want. And they had in game one, they had like 20 shots, not even halfway through the game. The Bruins are giving up a lot of shots like earlier on in the games. Like it didn't end up being too much in either third period, but the Bruins themselves also didn't do like anything in either third period. Ryan Reeves held Morgan Geekie. Like, okay, here's the thing. I understand why the Bruins were called for too many men, because yes, they had too many men on the ice.
Yeah.
However, it's just such, like, truly, I've never seen a play like that. And you got, I'm so conflicted on it, because it's like, as the Bruins, you have to watch for that. Like, you can see that Morgan Geeky did not get off the ice, right? Like,
yeah, whoever's going on for him has to be paying attention.
You gotta notice that. And yeah, like, Reeves was almost just, like, trying to steal him. It was like, what? So stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the refereeing this game, obviously, not the reason the Bruins lost. However, just like overall, I don't know what game they were watching.
No.
But yeah, yeah, Ullmark. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was going to say I get it. I get the call. I get and all that, but I also like. I don't know. Ryan Reeves is pissing me off. He also had a good game, which kind of pisses me off even more.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. He looked good. I didn't like it. But yeah, then this is what I was talking about being fair. You're the best defenseman on the Bruins. You got to get that puck away from Matthews. You got to be the one to win that battle. You can't let him get behind you. Especially when it's the puck in the air. You can't let him get behind you. I don't care if you don't know where the puck is. You're staying between Matthews and Ullmark. Especially when it's Austin Matthews. When it's literally the best goal scorer in the NHL. You gotta.
Is he good or something?
Yeah. You have to be the one between him and Ullmark, and not just give him a free breakaway like that. And yeah, I literally cannot blame Ullmark for that. Like, when it's Matthews on a breakaway, when it's Matthews having a free shot, like, unless it's like a really, really bad shot, like, I cannot blame the goalie. He is the best goal scorer in the NHL. And then, yeah, on a breakaway, he just undressed Ullmark and easy goal going up. With what, 7 minutes to go, I think? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Enough time for the Bruins to score, or should they have wanted to?
Yeah, that's what you would think. Charlie Coyle got a penalty for roughing, for being punched in the face.
For being roughed, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, stupid. Like, Lyubushkin just. Yeah, went after him. I think Marchand definitely sold the slashing.
Oh, for sure.
By Bertuzzi. But I will say, like, in the 1% of Marchand defense, like, that back part, I mean, basically, yeah, any back part, like, any part on, like, the lower, like, basically your thigh going down, like, you have so much less protection there as a player. And the pants. Like, it did look like it was basically the part where, like, the pants get real thin, like, sort of right there before just actually being the player's, like top of the knee type area. So, like, I can see why that definitely would have, like, stung him. I don't know if Marchand should have fell. But, yeah, Bruins got a power play there. You know, Coyle shouldn't have
deserved power play.
Exactly. Coyle shouldn't have gotten a penalty. So, either way, the Bruins went to the power play. In theory, I mean, like, I guess they had an extra player. Like, I guess there were five Bruins and four Leafs on the ice. I mean, I couldn't tell. Yeah, and I was wondering if that was gonna happen. Joel Edmondson did in fact get the tripping penalty against Charlie McAvoy at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So
I mean, so start game 3 with a power play. That'd be cool.
I wish. That'd be a good way to kill all the Bruins' momentum.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind. We don't want.
You'll have any momentum and then kill it all. Yeah. I mean, the Bruins had a chance. For like two minutes to go. Matthews put the puck in between Samsonov's legs, and that was basically it. I mean, the puck was still loose; like they were clearly still moving it around. But, how did we feel tonight?
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
I just, after that Pasta goal, there was just nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe one chance, but mostly one and done. I mean, Samsonov had that one, well, I guess a couple of those two quick saves. I don't even remember when that was. That was the third period, first period, maybe even still. But there wasn't much from the Bruins, and that concerns me. I don't know. Credit to the Leafs, I guess you could say. The Leafs did what they needed to. But without Nylander, you needed to really take that game.
Yeah.
But is it also encouraging? Is it also encouraging that they played so bad, but they still hung in there and only lost by a goal?
Like,
I mean, it's tough. Yeah. They haven't really impressed me the last couple periods. And obviously the third period, I think on Saturday, they were kind of just in passive, we won this game mode, not get hurt. But I mean, very disappointed in how they played tonight.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a 7-game series. Well, best of 7 for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like it's the way I felt during the third period, and that's the way I felt this whole game. I think I did say this last episode when I was talking about the... Actually, I don't know if I said this to you or if I just said this to Kat. Talking about the Women's World Championship gold medal game, like in the third period of that for Canada, it just felt like they were just watching the puck. And that's what the last four periods of Bruins hockey has felt like. Like, they're just watching.
Yeah.
They're not going out and doing. Like, there's no pressure that they're trying to break through or create or do, like, anything with. Like, it's so very rigid and waiting for the Leafs to do something, which is not what you want to do against a team like the Leafs. If you're playing the Islanders, absolutely. Hurricanes, absolutely. You can do that. Those are more defensive-based teams. You can sort of wait for them to do something and capitalize on the mistake. With the Leafs, Austin Matthews is going to come in and just wire a shot. Like, you can't, you can't be waiting around against the Leafs. That's going to bite you in the ass. And it did. And then you just didn't have anything going offensively in the third. Like, sure, maybe you hope that puck bounces the right way of, you know, with that minute to go, but you can't just be hoping for that. You got to actually, you know, it's got to go in.
I really thought when they got that power play that they were going to find a way to tie it and then sneak out a win. I had that hope.
Then
all of a sudden
brain,
there's 20 seconds left on the power play. And it's like, oh, okay.
My brain, when they got that power play, was this smells like they're going to tie it, give us hope, and lose in overtime.
Yeah.
Which, hey, same result either way is what happened. Like, it's a loss. Doesn't matter.
Heck yeah.
It's just 1-1. That's what the series is. But, I don't know. I am not concerned. I will be concerned if all of Game 3 looks like this.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if the Bruins are down 2-1, but they at least like actually played well, and it's just like a very, very close game and whatnot, and it like takes like an incredible play by like Marner or something to win it for the Leafs, that's fine. Like, at least for the entire series, that's fine. if they play like they did tonight on Wednesday, I don't think they're winning.
Yeah, they can still very easily win this series, but they can't play like they did tonight. Oh my god. And I mean, going into Toronto, Toronto's typically good at home. The refs are pretty good for them at home. I'm kind of scared. I won't lie. I'm not scared. Having my doubts. But hey.
Yeah.
Still got to play the games.
Yep.
But yeah, tonight was not it. And Ullmark was fantastic. I mean, it could have been 5-2. Those saves in the... I don't remember what period. Was it the second period? I mean, basically every period, you had at least one amazing save, but hate to waste a performance like that.
Dare I say Andrew Peak is the key to success?
That was going to be my next point. Is Andrew Peak that important?
I just
didn't have any update on him after the game, too, so that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, they have... Like, every team around the league has been very tight-lipped. That's the phrase, right? With, like, injuries.
Yeah.
Like, I saw someone tweet that, like, about Nylander that was like, Sheldon Keefe doesn't know who William Nylander is. Sheldon Keefe doesn't even know who he himself is. Sheldon Keefe is not playing. Sheldon Keefe is not going to be at the game tonight. He's not a hockey coach. I hope it's nothing serious, because Wotherspoon, Shattenkirk gives me anxiety. Especially in Toronto, just throwing Wotherspoon into that. Okay. He at least kind of solidifies Shattenkirk.
Even peak Wotherspoon, maybe.
Yeah, right? Like, hopefully he's okay and he's good to go for game 3. They also said that Brazo is like would only be likely an option if they make the second round.
Missed that guy.
Sucks. Yeah, would have been nice to have him in a game like tonight. Go after Reeves.
I don't even think he should waste his time on Reeves.
No, I know. Go after Matthews.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, fourth line tonight. I don't know if I have specifics to say, but every time they were out there, they were getting creamed by the Leafs fourth line.
Yep.
Like, it was just the Bruins fourth line's out, the Leafs fourth line's out, it's in the Bruins zone. Beecher made some awful decisions. Maroon, it's tough with him.
Focus had a couple nice plays, but
he had some good chances. But I think he was the best of everyone on that line. But
it's a low bar.
Yeah, Beecher 80% on the faceoff dot though. That's good though. But 80% on the faceoff dot, and then you're still spending all the time in the Bruins zone. Not great.
Yep.
Not enough people on the Bruins had a solid game tonight. Like, you can say Pastrnak had a solid game. He scored. I mean, that was more Zacha. Let's be so like for real. But Zacha had a good game. Like, mostly, but then yeah, like you didn't get enough out of Frederick, DeBrusk, Heinen, like your guys like that, Marchand, like you need more
from Marchand for sure,
and you need more from Lindholm and McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy especially. I think. Well, did he have an assist tonight?
Maybe he did have an assist on.
Oh yeah, secondary assist on the Zacha play. So never mind. Yeah. I was going to try to give him a pass. I thought maybe he had 2 assists, but I was right. That first goal by Geeky was Marchand and DeBrusque making nice plays. So, I definitely think Marchand needs to be better in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, I also... He's lucky... late. I was some point in the third where a Leafs player was coming off the bench and Marchand was like just skating to the bench, like to go off after his shift.
It was after
he had a someone had tied him up like in front of the net and they were there for a while. And then Marchand gave the Leafs player coming off the bench like a pretty solid cross check. Didn't get called, didn't get seen. I saw that shit on broadcast and literally out loud went, "Be careful." Like, yeah, worrisome, but at the end of the day, the series is tied 1-1. The Bruins are normally always in this situation. They don't go up 2-0 out often. Nope. When was the last time that happened? Carolina, 2019?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Carolina in the bubble?
Yeah, maybe Carolina in the bubble.
I think Carolina in the bubble. I feel like they went up 2-0 in that series, and then it was Canes 1-1.
I got this. 2020, boom, boom, boom. Hold on. Oh, that was split 1-1 after 2.
Okay. Well, see,
my God, remember?
So then, yeah, the last time they went up 2-0 in the series was when they swept the Canes in 2019. Or, yeah, 2-0 in the series.
Remember game 1 and 20 in the bubble against the Hurricanes? Sure. How it got pushed to 11 a.m. the next morning because of that crazy OT game.
Went like 5 OT.
And then, yeah, and then Bergeron in double OT. Wow, that's crazy. Heck yeah. Oh, wait, all right, since I have to do this. All right, here are the Bruins from that bubble game 1. Bergeron, Bjork, Carlo, Chara, Coyle, DeBrusk, Grislyk, Kasha, Krejci, Krug, Corrali, Lauzon, Martian, McAvoy, Nordstrom, Pasta, Richie, Wagner, and then Rask.
just that line of players. McAvoy, Nordstrom, Pasternak, Richie, Wagner, Rask.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, Bruins legends. I don't have any more notes on the Bruins game. We can go to questions for that. Because we do have a few. Jack asks, third period has been shocking and has been a problem for months. Do you see this improving or do we have to bury the game in the first? You answer first.
Both. Both. They need to put themselves in a better spot later on, and they need to, no matter what, no matter who they are, they need to buckle down in the third period and play like they give a damn still. Is that harsh?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too harsh to say, but I don't know. I mean, especially tonight, the second period was not that good at all. So, and again, part of it, you got to give credit to Toronto because they really were good tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Got to give credit where it's due, but I also feel like the Bruins kind of, I don't want to be like the person that says, oh, the Leafs didn't win this game, the Bruins lost it. But, I don't know, I think the Bruins hurt themselves a lot. And, hey, we'll see how they respond. We saw the Leafs respond, we'll see if the Bruins can respond and change some things up. And also, I think, when we talked about Peak on the trade deadline episode, I did not expect to be saying this on April 22nd, but if he's out, that's massive.
Yeah.
Massively bad.
Yeah, so no, it is.
How the tables turn, but I think
I've actually seen like his underlying numbers, but from everything that I've seen, he's been pretty solid.
I mean, great, shut me up, please.
Yeah, right, like literally. Don't complain if that's going. My answer to that question is they have to bury the game in the first. I have no reason to believe that they're going to improve their third period. It just hasn't been improved this whole season. It's been bad. We know it's been bad, and it's still just been bad. I feel like they gotta get a big lead in the first and second, and then just kind of ride that.
Especially with a team like the Leafs, because no matter what, they're going to get their chances, especially in desperate times.
Yeah. Like, so. I know we have the memes about the Leafs blowing leads. They also have a lot of comebacks.
I was gonna say,
like, they have a bunches. Lot. So, yeah. All right. Zach asks, should the bees go back to Swayman? I'm not saying it was Allmark's fault. Just one of your thoughts. Yeah,
definitely wasn't Allmark's fault.
Not Allmark's fault. Swayman should be in net for game three.
Yep. And if they play the way they did tonight, it won't matter who's in net.
Yeah. Because if Swayman was in net tonight, the Bruins aren't like the Bruins weren't winning. So.
Yeah.
Mango asked, as a Leafs fan, I'm used to our fan base blaming someone for the loss, so whose fault is it?
It's the refs, totally.
I think it's yours.
Mine? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there tonight.
Yeah, you weren't there. Why?
Tragic.
Go spend more money.
All right, can I just say something? I got a notification from the Ticketmaster app saying a special exclusive offer. And why the fuck was a suite ticket less money than what I paid for a balcony seat?
Because Ticketmaster is screwed.
Day of a game you want to sell. But I saw that and I was actually kind of frustrated. But yeah, so basically for game five, let's crowdfund some ticket money.
Yeah. Or even for game three, we can get you to Toronto.
I love the Bruins, but not enough to go to Toronto.
Wow. You say that like it's a hellscape.
I went to Ottawa, and that was Ottawa for a road playoff game. I don't really want to be around Leaf fans.
Hmm. Yeah. That's fair. Just, you know, wear a Blue Jays jersey or something.
Hmm. Oh, also, I just want to say something, too. Mm-hmm. I noticed this walking out of the Garden on Saturday. Don't get in people's faces, like, yelling at them after a game. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, a grown man getting into, like, a woman's face to yell, go Bruins, like, in her face. I saw that, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's a hockey game. All right, we have our fun, but let's not yell in people's faces.
Yeah.
Especially when they're just literally walking, not talking to anyone, just walking. But, I mean, shouldn't be surprised. What is class anyways? Nobody has that anymore.
Normal kindness? Nah, fuck that.
Okay, all right. So the cheapest tickets for Bruins Leafs, standing room, no seat, obstructed view, $325 Canadian.
Holy Jesus. Yeah, that's.
I gotta see what this looks like. If it's standing room and obstructed.
And obstructed, like, are you just outside? Yeah. They're just selling a ticket to just look at Scotiabank Arena.
I have to see what this looks like, but we can continue.
Yeah. Last question from Scott. Are you making any lineup changes? If so, who?
Not in the forward side unless Brazo makes a miraculous recovery. I don't think JVR does anything in the series. I don't think he...
No.
Maybe I'm wrong for that. Not like a negative thing on him, but I think... This is if Peak can play. I say you sit Shattenkirk and put Wotherspoon in there.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
Especially with the Leafs trying to play heavy.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
But obviously, if Peak doesn't play, it's just Wotherspoon goes in anyways.
Yeah,
I know
Forbert's
traveling with the team. Wotherspoon should get the first nod. Like if he
probably
sucks,
especially because of the injury.
Yeah.
Forbert.
Like if Wotherspoon sucks, yeah, I was sure put Forbert in game four, but like, you know, yeah.
Also, speaking of being assholes, I get it. Forbert's the punching bag this year.
Yeah.
But like he's getting healthy. Don't. And plus, you act like you haven't seen the Bruins lose a whole bunch of defensemen and have to play like random fucking AHL defenseman in the playoffs before. Come on now. We've been there.
Yeah.
Forward might not be great, but... I'm glad to see Forbert at least healthy enough to be considered an option, I guess, to be practicing and whatnot. So,
yeah.
Good for him. I mean, obviously, don't hope injuries on anyone, so, like, in a not rude way towards Forbert, but I hope he doesn't have to play because that means injuries, but...
Yeah.
Insurance policies, gotta have them.
All right. We just hit the hour mark. I have truly no other thoughts on the... Yeah, I was surprised.
It didn't feel that long.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be like 40 minutes max, but, you know. Anyways.
Stupid.
I have no other thoughts about the other series. Like, I have not been able to watch them yet.
Only thing of note in my head is how crazy that Avalanche Winnipeg game.
Oh my god, 7-6. That's
literally it.
Yeah.
Poor Hellebuck. Get that man some help. And for the Avs, get a goalie that'll maybe stop a puck. But
yeah, it was the Jets had 23 shots, 7 goals. The Avalanche had 46 shots, 6 goals. Which 46 shots and 6 goals, that's great. 23 and 7. That's great for Winnipeg. But yeah. Other thing tonight is the Islanders were up 3-0 against the Canes. They finished the game with 12 total shots. And Carolina won 5-3. They scored they tied the game with 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go, and then took the lead 9 seconds later. So.
And then Brock Nelson chased down Gensel and slashed him a whole bunch of times on an empty net.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, I guess I'd be mad too if... Wait.
Oh, wow, God, Mike Riley. All those misconducts.
Mike Riley. Heck yeah.
Cal Palmieri misconduct, Jake Gensel misconduct, Brock Nelson misconduct, then 16 seconds later... Nason roughing, Bertuzzo roughing, Martin roughing, Martin roughing again, Nason misconduct, Bertuzzo misconduct, Martin misconduct, Clutterbuck misconduct, 31 seconds later, Cizikas roughing, Chatfield roughing, Cizikas misconduct, Chatfield misconduct.
Huh, Robert Bertuzzo being an asshole.
83 penalty minutes for the Islanders.
Good, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I said Canes in 4, that helps me. Vegas is currently up 4-2 on the Stars. Vegas has 4 goals on 10 shots.
You were onto something.
Well, hey, it's game 1. But maybe I'm right.
You're onto something so far.
Maybe I'm right. All right. Unless you have anything else to add.
Go Bruins.
Bruins in 7. That is all we have. Thank you if you made it this far. We will see about when the next episode might be. It could fully be the end of the series because I am fucking off to Vancouver on Sunday, so we'll see.
First the Canucks over the Bruins. Great.
Yeah, literally. And I'll now have to watch one of the game 5. That's now confirmed when I'll be there, so that's lovely. Yeah, I don't know. Bruins in 7. That's all I got.